Hello and welcome to I'm a Wolf. I'm Erin Olds and I'm happy that you're here with me today. I'm a 6'2 emotional manifester, Taurus, mother, and author, passionate about writing, human design, tarot, and parenting. Pour yourself a cup of tea, snuggle up with your favorite fuzzy blanket, and let's see where the conversation leads us. Thank you for being here. Hello. For today's episode, we are going to be listening to a human design reading that I did for a client. They have kindly agreed to let me also use the audio on my podcast. This person is an emotional generator, and the most interesting things about their chart to me is that they have a fully open head, spleen, and heart center. We'll get talking about all of those different things. If you would like to book your own human design reading with me, you can find the link in the description down below, or you can go to my Linktree, which is just Linktree/RinMoreBooks. It's RINMORE books. Thank you. I hope you enjoy. I'm going to assume that you don't have very much familiarity with human design, but if you do, forgive me if I'm telling you stuff that you already know. Your type is a generator. Generators are the most common in human design, but that doesn't make them any less awesome. Generators have a natural gift to go and do things in a predictable and patterned way. Generators are the workhorses of the community, and without generators, literally nothing gets done. You are the backbone of society. As a generator, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but one of the main things about being a generator is that you have sacral energy. As you get more into the human design space, you'll hear a lot of people talk about sacral energy, and as a generator, you have it. Next, let's talk about what your strategy is. Your strategy is to respond. This can look a lot of different ways, but the main thing that you're going to want to consider as a generator is that you are responding to things that are coming into your world from the outside. So this could look like you're going for a walk, you see a beautiful sunset, and your response to that sunset is, "Ooh, I want to paint that." Right? It could also look like you're listening to a podcast and you're given a piece of information that you didn't know before and you say, "Whoa, I want to build a business based around that idea." The idea as a generator is that you are moving into the world and the things that you interact with give you inspiration. And so you are built to respond to those things. Responding is going to be your best, most magical thing. You don't need to come up with something brand new and initiate something that has never before been seen. What you need to do is to look around you and say, "Oh, I see there's a gap in the market there. Oh, I see my friend needs to hear something here." Those sorts of things. You are responding to stuff around you. You might also find it really useful as a generator within your social media presence if you ask questions and you're encouraging other people to respond. You might also find that that works really well as a marketing tool towards you, is that when creators ask you questions, you want to give them an answer. Your not self theme is frustration, and it doesn't have it on this chart, but I want to tell you what your self theme is too, which is satisfaction. These are ways to know whether or not you are in alignment, right? And in alignment is just a human design term that means that you are doing what is in alignment with your design, right? That you are built to be in a certain way. Out of alignment, your not self theme is when you are doing something that does not line up with who you are, right? So for generators, your not self theme is frustration. So the way that I use this in my life is if I notice myself feeling frustrated, I say, "Oh, hang on, I must be out of alignment somewhere." So it's my little red flag to say, when am I behaving in alignment and when am I behaving out of alignment? And the other thing that you can check with is your self theme, which is satisfaction, right? So if you are doing something and you want to check, "Ooh, is this in alignment for me? Is it not?" You can ask yourself, "Well, how do I feel about it? Am I frustrated or am I really satisfied with it?" And I think it's important to note too that you can be frustrated with something that's happening while also feeling satisfied with the broader picture and feeling satisfied that you're working on it. You need to look at the larger picture there. It's okay if you have some days of frustration while you're working on a long-term project. That doesn't mean that it's not in alignment for you, as long as your broader feeling of it is one of satisfaction.
Your inner authority is your solar plexus, and we will get to that a little bit later when we actually look at your chart. But essentially what that means is that your solar plexus is going to be the thing that you go to in your body to say, okay, I need to make a decision. How do I go about making it? And we'll talk more about that when we get to the picture side of the chart. Your profile is a 5-1. The 5 is what is called the heretic, and the 1 is what is called the investigator. So as a don't let the word heretic freak you out. Essentially what it means is that other people might have a different vision of you than you necessarily have of yourself. And I know that that can be frustrating, but it is actually part of your design. This is how it is supposed to be for you. They say that if you believe that you are not a good person as a 5, other people will believe you. No matter how hard that you try to convince them, if you have some sort of subconscious belief that you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not whatever enough, then other people around you will pick up on that, even if you are trying to mask it. So it's really crucial with a line 5 to be sure that you're really digging deep in and you are taking care of how you see yourself first, because other people aren't necessarily going to perceive the you that you put out. They are instead going to perceive the you that is underneath. So you work on how you see yourself, and the way that other people see you will automatically adjust. Now, that line 1 is an investigator, and it is basically, if you can imagine, the quintessential person who just loves going down rabbit holes. They love learning about new things. They're really interested in new stuff. That's a line 1. So you might notice in your life that you really become interested in new things really quickly. This is not a bad thing. Please don't feel bad about that. I think it's a really beautiful thing to do. Specifically when you're looking for things to respond to, you might find if you ever start to feel like you're getting in a rut, go and learn about something new. It's a gift and you have it. You have a split definition, which will, okay, come look over the picture. I have to decide what order I want to do this in. So the split definition essentially means that you have a set of channels and centers up here, right? Which is your ajna and your throat that are defined. And you'll notice on the chart that those two are connected by a black line from the throat and a red and black line coming down. I promise we'll talk more about it. That those two are connected, right? What this essentially means is you can think of your centers like rooms, and you can think of the channels, which is the lines that go in between everything. You can think of the channels as hallways. So if the gate, which is all of the numbers, if it is lit up, you have an open door, right? And if the channel is colored in, you have a hallway that proceeds forward. So you'll notice, for instance, let's look at your ajna, which is the top green one that is lit up. You have 43, right, where it comes down and it is colored in the whole way down to 23. That is called a defined channel. Now, your split definition means basically that you have a gap between your defined centers. So your throat and your ajna are connected, but then you'll notice that your throat doesn't actually connect to anything else. We have a gap between, it's missing gate 12 to reach down and hit your solar plexus. So this is you are a split definition, right? So your definition is split in half. Like you have half of your chart defined, and then there's a gap, and then there's another half of your chart defined. What you will find in human design and in yourself as you start to apply it is that your decision-making process is going to be a little bit slower than other people's. And you might find that there are certain people in your life around whom you can make decisions quicker. And again, the idea with the channels is just that information and energy moves quickly through the ones that are fully defined. So for instance, if you had a friend who has gate 12 up in their throat and it is defined, when you are around that person, you might find it easier for you to have conversations, for you to understand how things are working. Your own inner decision-making abilities might change. You might find that you can speak clearer about it. You can talk more openly about your emotions, things along those lines. So the split definition, all it means is that if you are making a decision all by yourself, give yourself more time than you probably think you need. And if you're feeling really stuck, go and find somebody who bridges your split. That's what it's called. So you're going to find someone who has that gate 12, or you might find somebody who has other channels that are fully defined that then you two can play off of each other really well. Now, your incarnation cross, I'm not going to go into this because I'm just not going to have enough time. But if you want to look it up, literally just type in human design left angle cross of dedication and it will pull it up on Google. You'll be able to find all of the information that you could ever want about your incarnation cross. It is essentially the life journey that you are here to live. It is the thing that you are here to learn and understand and embody. So your incarnation cross can be a really useful way to kind of guide the way that you see yourself and to kind of reorient your life. The numbers on there, in case you're interested, they are just the top two on your sides. You see the personality chart that goes all the way down with the astrological symbols. And then we have the design side that does the same thing, but in red. You'll see 2343, that's your personality, your sun and your earth. And then the 3029 is going to be your design, sun and earth. So it's your sun and your earth signs on either of those sides. All right, now let's look at the picture on the side. To understand human design, really the basics that you need is just what each center is and what it does. But I feel like I want to tell you more than that. So I'm sorry if it's more than you wanted to know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So in human design, the idea is that when you are conceived, there is a point in time where your personality is set. You are still in utero at this point, and it is 88 days before you were born. So if you were to look at your design one, it's literally 88 days before you were born. So if somebody was born 88 days before you, they would have the design that is on the design side of your chart. Now, all of these things are unconscious for you. So what you're going to see in each of them, if you know astrology at all, you can look into the more specifics if you really want to get into it. But for instance, your sun is gate 30.1. So then you can go and you can find gate 30 on the chart. Over here in your solar plexus, it is on the bottom, the very bottom corner of the solar plexus. And you can see that that gate 30 is lit up in red. So what it means is that you have that gate defined in your chart, but it is done so subconsciously. So you might not necessarily be aware of the gifts and struggles that you have that come with that specific gate because it is unconscious. So anything that's red on your chart, except for the sacral center, ignore that. But any lines that are red on your chart are unconscious. Now, you'll notice by the same token, anything that's on the personality side is going to be filled in black. And if you have it in red and black, that means that it is defined in your chart twice, subconsciously and consciously. Let's start up at the top of the head and we're just going to work our way down. So at the very top, we have what is called your head center. Your head center is completely open, which means, first of all, you'll notice that it has no color, but also it doesn't have any gates defined inside of it. This means that your head center is kind of the equivalent of a porch, right? If all of the other centers are rooms of sorts, then your head center is going to be like a porch. And I'm noticing, even just as I'm glancing around, your spleen and your heart center are also wide open. So you have no definition at all in these areas. So this is like a porch, right? An uncovered porch. When it is windy, the porch is windy. When it is raining, the porch is wet. When it is dry outside, the porch is dry. Right? You do not need to control what happens in any of those centers. The important thing that you can do with completely open centers is you become the wise observer of those centers. So in your head, for instance, the head center is all about what do I think about? Like that's the question of the head center. What do I think about? What am I supposed to be thinking about? What am I thinking about? What's on my mind, right? So you have very literally a really open mind. I think this is awesome, but it definitely does come with some difficulties too. And maybe I should pause here and say that in human design, there is no good or bad. It's not wonderful to have something defined and terrible to have it undefined. There's no duality like that. Every single aspect in human design has an aligned side and an unaligned side. So if you are living in full alignment with your design, it is good. If you are living out of alignment with your design, you are going to have challenges. So there is no such thing as like, oh, I wish I had a defined head. That's not really what it is. Having an open head is how you are designed. And so your calling then in this life is to learn to be very wise about that thing. And especially as you have three centers that are fully open with no definitions at all, you are called to be very wise and to become very wise about all three of those centers. Of course, it can be really triggering along the way because you have to unlearn a lot of things that society has told you and maybe that your parents or other people in your life, whether they're well-meaning or not, have given you those ideas of how things are supposed to work. Right? There is no supposed to. You are supposed to be aligned with exactly who you are. And that looks different for everybody. So you might find with your very open head that ideas come in and out in a really beautiful flow state. You might find that you'll be thinking about something and then 10 minutes later, you're somewhere completely different. And it's like you're riding on a river and you closed your eyes and wow, look, now you're in a new place. If you can really lean into that flow of thoughts and not get hung up on, oh, I can't focus. Oh, I need to think about this thing or, oh, I'm feeling stressed about this idea. Then you'll find it to be a really beautiful experience. Something that open head centers also experience is the pressure to answer other people's questions for them. Okay, I have an open head as well, and my son has a defined head. And he will come into my space, and literally just by existing in the same space as me, it really is like he puts questions into my brain. And suddenly I find myself saying, hey, did you want to know? Hey, let's look up. Ooh, I'll find some answers for you. That is the pressure of other people. And with a child, you know, I can choose whether or not I find answers for him. But especially with friend groups, things along those lines, you need to be aware of whether or not you are answering people's questions for them. The magic mirror that I have found with this one for my open head is to imagine it like it's a mirror. Because you have the wisdom, right, to let the questions come in and out. And as you become a more detached observer of those questions, you'll start to notice that people ask you questions. And you can then say, that's an interesting question, reflect it back to them. What do you think? And for the most part, that's all people need is your wisdom of saying, oh, I see you're asking me a question. Let me turn it back to you because I have here a beautiful mirror that I can say, ah, but that's not mine. The other thing that I find helpful, especially when my mind is racing, is I imagine that I'm on that porch and that the wind is blowing and I pretend like I have a dandelion in my hand and I just blow and watch all of the thoughts go away because they're not mine. They're not mine. I do not have a designed mind and neither do you that circles around a particular thought and can't get off. You are designed to be with that flow. Okay, let's bump down to your Ajna. So Ajna is all about organization and structure. So if you have in your mind a particular way that you feel like things are supposed to go, then you want them to be done in that way. People with defined Ajnas are not only particular about the way that they want things done, but they have reasons for why they want them done. So if I were to ask you, oh, why have you organized your bedroom in this fashion? You would have answers for me. You know why you've put this thing here and why this goes in this place. So it can be really helpful for you to find systems, especially if you feel a sense of stress around needing things to be a certain way, to have those rules really clear. And I'm using rules here in a guideline sort of way, not in a restrictive you have to or else type of fashion, but more in a now that I understand the rules, I can play the game and it's a lot more fun. So in a boundaries guideline sort of manner. With your defined Ajna, you might find it really helpful to say out loud to people, this is how I want this to happen and this is why. So your Ajna always has a why. It knows why it wants things done in a certain way. So especially if you're butting up against anybody else in that fashion, you might want to explain to them, this is why I want it done in this particular fashion. And since your Ajna is directly connected to your throat, you'll probably find it pretty naturally easy for you to talk about the way that you want things organized, or the way that you want stuff set up, or the way that things should occur, right? When it comes to manifestation, having that defined Ajna means that you need to find whatever the system is that works best for you. There is not one like, oh, if you have a defined Ajna, this will definitely work. But if you have a defined Ajna, finding a system that makes the most sense to you will completely change everything for you. Because once you understand the rules that it functions in, then you can understand how all of the rest of it works. Human design can be one such system. You might like other content creators, things along those lines, but find what works for you. And remember that it doesn't have to be the same thing as everybody else, because you're not like everybody else. All right, we're going to bump on down to the throat. So the defined throat does a couple of really awesome things. First, it literally talks. In all of human design, all of the centers are constantly reaching towards the throat. The only way that energy can exit our bodies is through our mouths, right? And so we need to be able to verbalize the things that we are saying and the things that we're feeling and the intuition hits that we're having and the ideas about how we want things formed. Our ability to speak is a huge way that we create change. And with your defined throat, you have that multiplied. You not only have a defined throat, you have several gates activated within your throat. So your throat is, it's like a speaker that was turned on, but then it's clicked up a few knobs as well. So with a defined throat, you will find that you have a consistent voice, like your voice literally will sound consistent across all the different things. This isn't to say like you can't be an incredible voice actor or anything, but that if you are upset, for instance, you always sound the same when you are upset. There is a particular tenor to your voice, and people who know you know, oh, they're upset, right? By the same token, your voice, your vocal tics, the way that you talk, the rhythm in which you speak comes across in all of the different ways. The shadow side of having a defined throat is feeling the pressure to always have something to say. Just because your throat is defined doesn't mean that you have to have something to say about everything. You are allowed to just say, I don't have anything to say about this. There is that sense of, I need to have something to say about everything. And then that is when you're not living in alignment. We're going to jump down to the G center, which is that little diamond in the center. This is called the steering wheel of the body. It's the idea that your G center is always trying to find whatever your personal magnetic north is, right? Whatever your highest, best self looks like, your G center is always trying to bring you into alignment with that. Because your G center is open, you have the gift of being a chameleon. You can go into any setting, any scenario, and you can kind of become a different person, if you will. It's not to say that who you are doesn't have integrity, and it's not to say that you lose your values as you go from place to place, but more that it is easy for you to fit in comfortably with different groups of people. So you might be friends with this group over here and this group over here, and they on the surface have very little in common, and seems like it doesn't really make sense how you could fit into both of them. And that is the gift of the open G center, is that you are very chameleon-like. You can mold and fit into the different situations and be really comfortable in who you are in a wide variety of different things. I like to think about the open G center as like a fractal diamond. It's a beautiful diamond. Like if you look at a diamond, it is a diamond, right? And it is no less diamondy because it has all of the little factions in it. So essentially what you're doing when you are around different people with your G center open like that is you are saying, this person gets this facet. This person gets this facet. This person gets this facet. And it probably happens pretty naturally and subconsciously for you. But as you shift through all of those different things, people get to see a really wide array of who you are. And who you are might look very different from this friend group to this friend group, but that doesn't mean that you aren't still a diamond that is full and whole and developed. The trick with this one for the shadow side of it is to make sure that you aren't feeling any pressure from other people. Not make sure that you aren't feeling it, but to be aware if you start to feel it and to be conscious of pressure from other people for you to be consistent and for you to be one type of person and for you to only like the things that they think you should like or only be interested in the things they think you should be interested in. Anytime you feel that pressure, I want you to just imagine that you are on that porch and you're just letting the wind blow through. You have like a porch swing on this one that is defined, right, with your channel or with your gate 13. But you do not need to be one type of person. You are allowed to change and transmute, and there's a lot of beauty in that and in showing different people all of your different facets. Okay, we are going to head down to the spleen. Your spleen is also wide open. So not only is it undefined, it is completely open, right? So the spleen, when the spleen is all about survival and it's all about fear. So when you have a wide open spleen, it can show up in one of two ways. Either you have absolutely no fear about anything at all. They joke that this is the child who you need to remind to not jump off of the roof onto the trampoline. So you are either that child, or you can feel extra aware of and afraid of everything. Because we have that very open center again, it can either be that sponge that completely absorbs everyone else's feelings, or it can be that mirror that reflects back and is like, oh, I see you're afraid of this thing. Oh, I understand that you're afraid of this. So your real superpower here is to be able to perceive in other people when they are afraid. And that's a gift that I think not very many people know how to use very well. And I think it's a pretty remarkable one to be able to say, oh, I see that you're not doing that because you're scared. And to be able to say, I see what you're afraid of. For the dark side of that, the difficult side of it, it can be if you're out of alignment that it's really hard to process being around everybody else's fears. And it can also be really difficult to process people telling you that you ought to be afraid of things all the time, especially if you're not feeling afraid of those things. Let's go. All right, I know we're kind of jumping all over the place. We're going to go back up to the heart center, which is next to the G center. It's the smaller triangle that's clear. The heart center, yours is fully wide open, which again means you are here to deliver and live a lot of wisdom out of this center. So the heart center is also called the ego center. It's also called the willpower center. And the question in this one is, am I trying to prove myself? Do I have something to prove? So the wisdom on this side is to know I have nothing to prove and neither does anyone else. I am worthy exactly as I am. I am good enough exactly as I am. But the unaligned, difficult side of that is feeling intense pressure to prove yourself and to prove that you are good enough, smart enough, strong enough, whatever it happens to be. And the wisdom here is to know I don't actually have anything to prove, and I can choose to let that go. So again, you are called to be that wise observer to say, oh, I see that you want me to prove myself. Oh, I see that you want me to just do it, right? Nike was definitely invented by someone who had a defined ego. I can see that you want me to do that, and I'm going to choose not to, or I'm going to choose to pursue that, but I'm not going to prove myself to you because I know I am already good enough. And you can give that gift to other people as well. Okay, let's jump down to your sacral center because your sacral and your root and your solar plexus are all working together in a really beautiful connected harmony here. So first we're going to talk about your sacral center. This is similar to a battery. And the way that I like to think about the sacral center is it's kind of like a car, right? You fill up a car with gas. The car can drive, but there is a certain point at which that car is going to run out of gas, right? It needs to be refilled. And then you can refill the car again, and then off it goes. And as long as you are taking good care of the car, aka your body, as long as you're taking good care of the car and you're getting repairs and, you know, filling it up with gas regularly and not popping its tires, then your car can get you from A to B, B to C, C to D, right? And you can just keep going. So the gift with having a defined sacral center is that you have the ability to show up consistently and to do things in a way that is really reliable for other people and for yourself. So especially with your defined ajna as well, you might find it really helpful to come up with a particular routine that you follow and a structure and a pattern. You might like it over, oh, at this time every day I do X, or when I wake up in the morning, here's my morning routine, or when I am getting ready for bed, here's my bedtime routine, or every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, I go and I get a massage, whatever it happens to be. You might find that that sort of routine really feels good to you. And again, remember, your ajna is not very interested in what other people think, how other people think it should be organized. It's only interested in what feels best to you. So as much as you might find a system that really works well for you that is from someone else, don't be afraid to tweak it a little to make it really fit with your particular rhythms. So with that sacral center, you can go and go and go, but you need to be very careful that you do not burn yourself out. Because if you keep driving your sacral car past where you have no more gas and you're just literally running on fumes, you're not going to be able to then catch back up and do anything consistently because you burned yourself out. So with the dark side, the tricky part about having a sacral center is that you can feel that urge to hustle and to really grind and to just get into it and use that sacral energy, because you have the ability to go, right? But if you just go and you never refuel, your car is gonna die. And I don't mean like literally you will die, but like it doesn't do good things for your body and it doesn't do good things for your energy either. So you want to be sure that even while you are doing those consistent things where you show up and you are getting stuff done, that you are also taking time to refuel your car and to change the oil and to do all of those important things that help keep a car running. All right, we're going to jump down to the root center. Now, your root is something that operates in a pulsing format. So your root goes like this, basically. And root is about timing. So your root will say something like, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. Okay, go, 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 go. Not yet, not yet, not yet. Okay, go, go, go. So the root operates in that pulsing frequency. So it is either on or it is off. It is yes or it is no. The trick there is to not get discouraged while you are waiting for the right moment to come, which I know is easier said than done. All right, we are going to now follow channel 41 and 30 all the way up to your solar plexus. Now, your solar plexus is where you experience emotions. And people who have open solar plexuses still experience emotions. It's just a different way of feeling it. So if you have a solar plexus, you will sometimes be hit with emotions that are just massive and make no sense and have no clear antecedent. You might not know what triggered such a huge feeling, but you're feeling it. The other gift slash struggle with having a defined solar plexus is that you sometimes feel the emotions of the world and the universe and the planets and the astrological way that things are moving in the sky. You might just sometimes get hit with a great big emotional wave and it's kind of like drowning and you're not sure why. But the beauty of this solar plexus is that you are called to be very, very wise about how it feels to surf those waves. You're not watching other people doing it, but you are in there experiencing it yourself. So what happens inside the solar plexus is called an emotional wave. Essentially what it does is something happens, right? And a wave is triggered. So you first go up, you might also go down, but we'll do up first. So you go up and you say, wow, what a beautiful, incredible, remarkable idea. Here is all of the magical, wonderful things that could happen if I do this idea. And then the wave crests and it goes down and it goes low. And down here you are saying, here are all of the horrible, terrible, no good, very bad things that could happen if I follow this idea. And eventually that wave ends too. So it's like a sine wave and you come back to neutrality. Now you never want to make a decision when you're up here in the high, and you never want to make a decision when you're down here in the low. you want to wait until you reach neutrality. So the gift of this is that by the time that your emotional wave ends, you have experienced the high and the low, and you can now weigh them out in a really clear and thoughtful way. You can say the pros totally outweigh the cons, or the cons totally outweigh the pros. I'm not going to do that. The thing about having a defined solar plexus and having those emotional waves is that you need to give yourself time to make big decisions. Okay, one last thing is I want to show you your conscious Jupiter, which, did you see that little, it says 31.5, that 0.5 is what we're looking at. This is why you personally desire wealth and abundance. And yours is aligned 5, which indicates that you understand on a really instinctual level how much power and influence is had by people who have a lot of money. And you know that were you given a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of influence, you could make great big changes. So as you work on manifesting more money and abundance into your life, that is what you can specifically ask for. You can say, I am grateful for the money that I have received because it helps me make positive changes, or because it gives me influence in areas that I care about. Okay, it has been an absolute delight to go over your chart. I really hope that this video was helpful. Please don't hesitate to reach back out if you need anything from me, and I'll see you on TikTok. Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to this episode of I'm a Wolf. If I triggered you, I'm not sorry. If I made you laugh, I'm glad. If you feel like you need to go have a hard conversation with someone, I'm sending you all the courage to do so. Remember that learning to love yourself is the hardest and most important work you will ever do. Remember that even when you feel alone, you're not. And remember, above all, that I believe in you. You can do hard things. You do them every day. We'll see you next time on I'm a Wolf.